This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
It is a pleasure to be with you today on Getting to Know Your Bible. We do appreciate those of you that are watching now, especially if you're watching the very first time. I want to encourage you to stay tuned today as we discuss a topic I believe will benefit us all. Beauty that does not fade. There is a beauty that does not fade. We want to talk about that today. Now, while we have just a moment, we're going to pause so that you can learn about a free Bible correspondence course and how you can receive it.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
In Psalms chapter 90 and verse 17, the psalmist wrote, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it." I want you to notice the part of the passage that says, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." So today we want to talk about the beauty that does not fade. It was John Keats who said, "A thing of beauty is a joy forever." A number of years ago, there was an article in the Reader's Digest entitled, "Beauty by the Bucketful." And of course, this was some time back, but at that time they said that women's cosmetics in America would gross more than $7 billion a year. I suspect it might have increased since that time. And so people are concerned about beauty. That's the reason some, when they begin to get a little older, will go in and they'll have a little surgery done here, a little surgery done there, especially on their face, because they want to retain that youthful look. But we want to think about a beauty today that's not ever going to fade. You're not going to have any plastic surgery to maintain this beauty. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30, the writer says that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So we're going to be thinking about a spiritual beauty, not a physical beauty. And this is the beauty that the Lord gives to those that walk with Him. The first thing we observe about this beauty, that it must be sought. You have to look for it. You have to try to find this beauty. Now, this beauty, it has to be sought because it is an inward beauty. In 1 Peter, the third chapter, and beginning in verse 1, Peter writes to wives. He said, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." So he talks about the hidden man of the heart, that inward person. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 talked about the inward person, the heart of man, when he said, "For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. That it is continues to grow stronger and stronger day by day, while the outward person may be getting weaker day by day." So God is concerned about the inward man. That's not to say that God's not concerned about our physical health, our outward person. Indeed, He is. But God is looking at our heart. I have, in my earlier years of preaching, been to churches to preach in gospel meetings, and there would be people there that would come to Sunday morning on the Lord's Day wearing a pair of overalls, As a matter of fact, I still go now and then to places like that. Someone says, you mean they wear overalls to church on Sunday? Yes, that's their Sunday wear. That's their Sunday overalls. Because, you see, God is not looking at what kind of clothing they have on. He's looking at their hearts. I remember in 1974 going to preach in a crusade on the island of Trinidad and making my preparations to go. I got out some suits to take with me and ties and all. And I got down to Trinidad, and the preacher there began to laugh at me. He said, what'd you bring those suits for? I said, well, I plan to wear them when I preach. He said, nobody wears suits down here. Nobody will have on a suit and a tie. And guess what? He was exactly right. Nobody had on a suit and tie. Nobody even had one except me. So the first night I decided, well, I'm going to wear a tie. I don't care what he says. I'm going to wear a shirt and a tie. I wore the shirt and the tie the first night. The next night I wore the shirt without the tie. That's the same shirt now. Keep in mind, it's the same shirt. And then the next day, I got out on the street and I found the attire that they wore there. And it was a shirt jack. They called it a shirt jack. And I bought me one, just one. And I wore that shirt jack for the duration of that 8-day revival because I wanted to blend in. I must say that shirt jack needed a little cleaning before I left. You see, God wasn't concerned about what those people had on. He wanted us to be dressed modestly, but God is looking at our hearts, and God is looking at the hearts of people all over this world. In 1 Samuel 16 and 7, the Bible says that man looks at the outward appearance. We want to see what a person has on. We want to see what kind of a car they drive, what kind of house they live in. We want to know what they have, but God is looking at the hearts of people today. God is looking at the inward man. And so this beauty that does not fade is an inward beauty. It has to do with the hidden man of the heart that Peter writes about in 1 Peter chapter 3. This beauty is not subject to corruption. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, that it is not subject to corruption. It's not going to be destroyed. The outward beauty can corrupt. That is, we get older. And that's what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The outward man perishes. The inward man is being renewed day by day. But so the beauty that does not fade is not subject to decay like the outward body. I don't know whether you've noticed it or not. But as we begin to get older, every time we have a birthday, every time we get a little bit older, there is a change in our physical body. Sometimes there's a change in our physical appearance. And so we are changing because that's just the way it is. But there is an inward beauty that never changes, and that's the beauty of the heart. And this involves our attitude. See, this beauty of the heart involves our attitude. Peter, right in 1 Peter chapter 3, said it involves, as he's writing to these women whose husbands were not Christians, and he said you can win your husband by having your life right and living in accord with God and walking with God. And he says the beauty that you have is a hidden man of the heart, and he says it involves a meek and a quiet spirit. You see, that involves your attitude. Let me ask you a question. What kind of an attitude do you have in your home? In dealing with your husband, do you have a meek and a quiet spirit? Attitude is so important in everything we do in life. I believe that our attitude determines our altitude, and our attitude is a lot more important than our aptitude. You see, we need to be sure that our attitude is right, and that has to do with the heart of man. That's why the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Attitude. So this beauty that does not fade has to be sought. And it is something that involves our attitude. And it is also precious. Peter referred to it as being a precious thing in the sight of God. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, in the sight of God is of great price. The most valuable thing that you own is your heart. It's of great price in the sight of God, because the heart deals with your soul. Your soul is the most valuable possession that you have. What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? We want that beauty that does not fade. Now, that beauty that does not fade can be lost. It may be at one time you had that inward beauty, but it can be lost. It fades when sin enters into our life. For the last few weeks, we've been studying some of the Psalms. And in one of our studies, we studied from the 51st Psalm. And in that Psalm, it was written against the background of David's sin with Bathsheba. David is called a man after God's own heart, not when he's sinning, but when he's repenting of his sin. And David had that beauty of the Lord, but he lost that beauty because of sin in his life. So that beauty goes when sin enters in the life. I've known some fine young people who let sin get into their lives and ruin their lives and ruin the beauty of the Lord in their lives. We can waste our future and throw away our future with sin. You see, the beauty that does not fade can be lost when sin enters into our lives. Think about all of the lives that have been destroyed with alcohol. Oh, I know there are those that want to debate whether or not a Christian ought to drink and moderately and all of that. But I want you to think about the fact that there's absolutely no good that I know that alcohol has ever done. I've never known of the alcohol industry to build hospitals for sick people. They're not doing things. They're not trying to save people's souls. You know what they're really interested in spite of all of the advertising they may do to the contrary? They're interested in making money. They're interested in making money. And there are people that are addicted to the use of alcohol. I wish I had the time, because time would not permit me to tell you of all of the cases that I've worked with over many, many years of people who had problems with the use of alcohol. Alcohol. I have seen children hungry because daddy used their money to buy alcohol. I've seen divorces because alcohol was involved. I've seen deaths on the highway because alcohol was involved. I don't know of any good that it does, in spite of all of the arguments made to the contrary. Solomon said, give strong drink to him that's ready to perish. If you want to perish mentally, socially, physically, financially, eternally, well, then just go ahead and drink. But that's going to cost you the beauty that does not fade. Think about those that are addicted to the use of drugs in our land. Folks, that's one of the serious problems in this country. This country is reeling because of the use of drugs and alcohol in this land. And alcohol is just a drug in liquid form. But there are those that are addicted to some strong drugs. Oh, they may get on a gateway drug called marijuana or pot, but it leads to other drugs. That's a known fact. And I know of people whose lives are ruined because they got involved with drugs. They got involved with heroin. They got involved with meth. They've gotten involved with all kinds of drugs. It destroys. And you're going to lose that beauty when sin enters in. And that beauty goes when the joy of salvation goes. You know, David prayed to God in Psalms 51. It seems to me that it's a prayer. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David seemed to have lost the joy. And when that beauty goes, the joy goes along with it. You want to be happy? Well, then you will start working on the heart. Start working on your heart on the inside, not just the outside. And so beauty that we're talking about is the beauty that does not fade. That's the hidden man of the heart. And this beauty fades when our spirit is wrong. Our spirit toward our spouse. And when I use the word spirit, maybe we could just use the word attitude. The attitude that we have can cause the beauty of the Lord to fade out of our lives. Maybe you had a good attitude at one time, but now you've become bitter. I've seen people become so bitter toward God. Maybe they've lost a loved one, and they want to blame it on God. Where was God when my loved one died? They become bitter, and the beauty that they once had is now gone. Oh, don't let the beauty fade in your life. We need to seek this beauty that does not fade. If you've lost that beauty, I want you to know that beauty can be restored. In the first chapter of Isaiah, God was heartbroken because His people were backslidden people. Earlier in that chapter, He said, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, that have gone away backward, that have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger." You talk about a people that broke the heart of God. They did. Do you think that they had the beauty that does not fade? Absolutely not. But God wanted to restore that beauty. Because down in the 18th verse, He said, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God said, although you've sinned, I want to forgive you. I want to get your life right. I want your heart to be right. So that beauty that has been marred, that beauty that has been lost, can be restored. Let me tell you what God can do. God can take a life that has been wrecked and marred and scarred by sin and change it. He can take a life that has been scarred by sin and make something beautiful out of it. You just have to allow Him to do so. You know, you could put a basketball in my hand, and that basketball would be worth maybe $15 or $20. You take that same basketball and you put that in the hand of a professional basketball player, and that same basketball be worth millions of dollars because of what he can do with it. You take a baseball and put it in my hands, and that baseball may be worth $5, $6, $7, $8, $9, $10. I don't know how much a good baseball costs these days, but not more than $10, let's say. But you take that same baseball and you put that in the hand of one of the finest pitchers there is today in the professional baseball, and that same baseball can be worth millions of dollars to him because of what he's able to do with it. You can take a piece of wood, and you can take that piece of wood and put it in my hand, and I might use it, and I might cut it up and nail it together and make a crude-looking birdhouse. But you can take wood and put it in the hand of Jesus, and Jesus Christ, and take that wood and die on it and save a lost world. And He can take your soul, your heart, that's been wrecked and marred by sin, and in His hand, He can make something beautiful out of your life. Oh, we're talking about beauty that does not fade. And this beauty has to be wrought. You see, this is a beauty that comes as a gift of God. If we're saved, it's not going to be because I did a lot of good things and saved myself. Absolutely not. Friends, if any of us are saved, it's going to be by God's grace. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves." It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we're saved, it will be because God's such a gracious God and a good God. You see, God looked down from heaven, and He saw the predicament man was in, that man was in sin, and God sent His Son because of it. And God sent His Son to save people like me and like you, to save us all from our sins, and to take us and make something beautiful and lovely out of us, that we might have that hidden man of the heart and have the beauty of the Lord. The beauty that does not fade. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Aren't you thankful that Jesus came into this world, died on the cross for you and for me, for the whole world? We want to make a difference in this world. If we want to make this a beautiful world, not an ugly world where people hate each other, where people are saying ugly, cutting, mean things about one another, we've got to start with our hearts and let the beauty of the Lord be seen in us. One of the most disgusting things to witness is to see someone who claims to be a Christian, who professes to be a follower of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, to be a follower of the one who loved us even when we were sinners, even the one who died on the cross for us because of that great love. And that person who professes to be a follower of Jesus Christ uses language that suggests that there is bitterness and hatred in that individual's heart toward people of other races. I'm telling you, my friend, that's not the way God wants it. God wants us to have hearts that are filled with beauty, beautiful thoughts and beautiful attitudes. Let the beauty of the Lord be with you. This is a gift of God. And you see, that expresses itself, God's gift of Jesus expresses itself in two ways. Number one, by our obedience to the gospel. When we obey the gospel by believing on Christ, by repenting of our sins, by confessing our faith in Jesus Christ, by being baptized for the remission of our sins, and we're added to the church for which our Lord gave His life on Calvary, and then we begin to worship with the Lord's saints on the Lord's Day, and we become involved in the work of the church, and we try to get other people to obey the gospel by teaching them what we have learned. You talk about a heart that's beautiful. You talk about a life that's beautiful life. But then we show that beauty by the character of our life. Paul wrote in Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. And he's making a contrast between the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh in Galatians 5. And in verse 22, he said the fruit of the Spirit is. And then he starts naming off some things. First of all, he talks about love. There are some scholars who think that when he said love, that that was a summation of the fruit of the Spirit, and everything else that he says ties into that. Well, it is true that everything else ties into it, however he meant it, he says fruit of the Spirit is love. You see, there has to be love for God. There has to be love for our fellow man. There even has to be a love for people that don't love us. We have to learn to love them. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and meekness and gentleness, temperance. You see, all of those things are characteristics of a life that is filled with the beauty of the Lord. You want to change a world? You want people to sit up and take notice? Then you let the beauty of the Lord be seen in you. I do not believe the beauty of the Lord is in a grouchy Christian, do you? I don't believe the beauty of the Lord is to be seen in a complaining Christian. The beauty of the Lord is not to be seen in a Christian who is a gossiping Christian. The beauty of the Lord is not seen in a Christian who is a hateful Christian. Some of the kindest people I've ever known in my life are Christians, and there was such a beauty about their life. But some of the meanest people I've ever known have claimed to be Christians. Oh, we need to let the beauty of the Lord be seen in us so that people would sit up and say, wonder what that individual has in his life. Whatever it is, I've got to learn more about it. I want to find out why that man is so happy all the time. I want to find out why that woman is so joyful. I want to find out why they have such a kind attitude. I want to find out why they have such a loving spirit about them, why they're always going about trying to do something to help other people. I want to find out why they're so easy to get along with. they have a beauty about them that comes by having their sins washed away in the blood of Jesus. Once when they believed on Jesus and they repented of their sins and they confessed their faith in Jesus and they were baptized into Jesus because the Lord told them to. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And then they began to live the Christian life and they began to worship the Lord every Lord's Day. And they would meet with the saints, partake of the Lord's Supper, sing and pray and give of their means, have the Word taught to them. And they began to be involved in the work and the planning of the work of the local church. There's such a beauty in the life of that kind of an individual that cannot be put into words. Oh, my friend, do you have that beauty today? Why don't you begin to live that life today? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. Oh, I want to thank you for tuning in to watch Getting to Know Your Bible today. And in the closing moments today, I want to urge you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And you'll find a cordial welcome there. If you're not certain where the church is located, get in touch with us. And we'll let you know where the nearest congregation of the Churches of Christ is to be found. Also, right now, pick up the phone. Call for the free Bible correspondence course. And if you prefer, you may take the course online. But whatever you do, however you take it, please study this Bible correspondence course. I want to thank you again for watching. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
We want to help you as much as possible in your search for a personal relationship with God. You can now easily access our free Bible correspondence course online at gettingtoknowyourbible.org. If there's any way we can help you grow closer to God, please email us at knowyourbible@golftel.com or call us anytime at 1-877-711-5214. Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.